So we're holding on Chof Dalet Amud Aleph, about 10 lines from the top by the two dots. 10 lines from the top, Chof Dalet Amud Aleph. The Mishnah said, "Ha'isha atzma mevi'a v'chola," that a woman herself can bring her own, can be a shliach halacha and bring her own get, as long as she says v'fanim nechta, v'fanim nechta. And asked, what do you mean? "Isha mekimati gita l'yodei garshala." As soon as the get comes to her hand, when she receives it, let's say Nidas Yam, it immediately takes effect. And Rashi points out, at that point even, if she wanted, she could burn the get. She could do whatever she wanted with it. That's nowadays. They rip up the get afterwards and give her a receipt saying you received a get on such a date and time and place.
Not when she brings it. That's the point, right,
when she receives it. In other words, as soon as she receives it, it's taken effect. At that point, Rashi says, all she needs it for is for proof that she should be able to use it to remarry and to collect her ksuba and so forth. Why does she need to say b'fanenechtem to a beis din in Eretz Yisrael when she already received it in the chuppah, that at that point she's divorced? Never mind that. That's the point. She can still be a shliach. But the question is, why would she need to be a shliach if, as soon as she receives the get, she's already divorced? Which, by the way, there is actually the Rambam versus the Raavad in how to understand the Gemara's question. The Rambam apparently takes the Gemara at pretty much at face value that yes, if a woman comes with a get and says, "Here, I have a get showing that I'm divorced," then we accept it, and no further evidence is needed. She doesn't even need to say b'fanenechta. That is written and signed in my presence. That's it. However, the Raavad disagrees with that. The Raavad says, "What are you talking about? We knew her to be an Eishes Ish. Mela, if we never knew before that she was an Eishes Ish, and she comes from out of town and says, Eishes Ish, Hayisi, or Grushani, we learned from Ksuba, it's fine. Apesha also, Apesha Hitzer. We only know that she's an Eishes Ish based on her statement. She is also, at the same time, telling us that she's divorced. It's fine. But if we knew she was an Eishes Ish, how can we believe her just on the basis of a get without any further evidence?" So the Mishnah Melech explains that the Raavad would understand our Gemara exactly the opposite of the Rambam. The Rambam is saying she doesn't need to say b'fanenechta, it's kosher even with that. The Raavad would say it doesn't work to say b'fanenechta. She would need actual edim to certify the signatures.
Because we
knew that she was an Eishes Ish. We need something more than her word to be able to say.
Yeah.
When does she need to say b'fanenechta if she's bringing it from Chuzlah? Yeah. Nowadays, that's what they do, because the halachas of Gittin over time have gotten very, very complicated. There's many, many different opinions among the Rishonim and Achronim about many of the finer points of the get. You don't want to have a situation where the get is given, and afterwards, next a year or two or 20 or 100 years later, somebody is going to look at it and say, "Hey, wait a minute, this get doesn't follow the opinion of so-and-so. It's a possible get. This woman was an Eishes Ish, her children are mamzerim, etc." So in order to avoid that problem, what they do is, after the get has been given to her, or to her shliach, as the case may be, and has taken effect, at that point, the beis din takes it back. They rip it, a kera beis din, they rip it. I've been an aide on a couple of gittin, I'm speaking from experience. Every get, yeah. So they rip it, a crosswise rip, a shesi beis. What about she doesn't? So that's the point. So now the beis din gives her a receipt, which says that on this date, in this location, the beis din of such and such gave you a get from your husband X, and therefore the receipt. There's no specific dinim how the receipt has to be written. So there's no problem if I toss laws. There's no problem that somebody's going to see it and say, "Hey, wait a minute."
Yes,
because
the get and the father, I thought they give you back. Oh,
I'm pretty sure they keep it. I'm pretty sure the beis din keeps it.
The question is, why the chamin the next? That's not as soon as the get is seized, and she gives it to the beis din, it cannot be attacked.
Because after all, I mean, if there is a genuine problem with it, then yes, it can be attacked. There's a number of chuvas of the Alter Rebbe in back of Shulchan Aruch. If you ever want to look it up, there's a number of chuvas that he has over there about the finer points of gittin. And there's one where the Alter Rebbe outright says that there was a get that was written for, what was it, the woman was named Rasha, and they wrote in the get Rochel. The Alter Rebbe says, absolutely posel deraisa, no question about it. And if this woman ever gets remarried, then, yeah.
Okay.
So if she brings an actual get, she still will meet this. Anybody who brings a get, even nowadays, will meet the same b'fana nechta b'fana nechta.
They
will afterwards, after it's received. Yeah.
And then a problem can the husband. This patient didn't see it.
No.
So how do they know it really happened?
She
has to bring it to the chazaka at that point. I mean, Isha Daiko Mitzvah, after all. I mean, a woman is going to be careful before we marry because she doesn't want a low penalty. But according to the Daiko, yes. According to the Rambam, if she says, I was an Isha Sid, well, first of all, if she comes from a Dinas Yam, we never knew her from before, and she says, I was an Isha Sid and I'm divorced, now you have a Mishnah in Ksubas that says we believe her. Hapesha also Hapesha Hittu. We wouldn't know that she was ever married if it weren't for her word. Well, she herself is also telling us that I'm mutter now that I'm divorced. So there's no problem with that at all. The problem is, if we knew beforehand that she was an Eish HaSish, and now she's coming and claiming that I'm divorced, according to the Rambam, her word is good enough. Her word plus the guest is good enough for us. Or I guess nowadays, the receipts, whatever. And according to the Rambam, no, you'd need aging.
If she comes herself, we believe her.
If she comes herself and we didn't know her from before, then yeah, we believe her. Okay, anyway, getting back to the Gemara over here. So, the question is, why would there be a scenario where she has to bring a get and say, b'fana nechtem, b'fana nechtem? Again, according to the Rambam, she shouldn't need to say that at all. And according to the Rambam, that's not sufficient. Amar Rav Huna, so Rav Huna says, the case is, b'oimer lo tisgarshi be'ele b'fnei beis din poini. Okay, the case could be that the husband told her, I'm giving you this get, but I only want it to take effect when you're in front of such and such a beis din. Okay, then the question is, sof kimat yahasim igarshaba. Fine, very nice. Okay, so she comes there, but then that's not a matter of being a shliach to bring the get. That's a matter of a tnai. That's like any tnai with gittin. As soon as the tnai is fulfilled, as soon as she's standing in front of that basin, it immediately takes effect. Again, what b'fana nechtem is necessary. B'fana nechtem is when you're a shliach bringing the get and you haven't yet given it to the ultimate destination, then you need to make that declaration. But at this point, the destination is right there. No, how about the case? The Amalah, he tells you, when you come there to the Beis Din, it will not take effect immediately as soon as you come to the Beis Din, like Rav Huna's proposal. Rather, I'm instructing you, you're to put the get on the ground there, the shakle, and then pick it up. So what does it mean? The husband says to her that this is the conditions under which I'm giving you the get. You bring the get to such and such a Beis Din. When you come there, it's still not going to take effect immediately. You're going to have to put it on the ground and then pick it up, and your picking it up will make it take effect. The ground doesn't matter who the ground belongs to. Well, it doesn't matter who the ground belongs to. But we're going to talk about it. The Gemara is going to challenge it. Because that's the tonight that he made. He could give it to her, but then we wouldn't have the scenario where we're trying to figure out what's the scenario where she has to say b'fana nechtev or b'fana nechtev. So this is the scenario so far that we've come up with. So the point is, at that point, until she actually places it on the ground, she is the shliach halacha. So therefore, in order for it to be given from the shliach halacha, in this case, to the ground from which she's going to pick it up, then she has to say, b'fana nechtem, b'fana nechtem. The problem is, if that's the case, then that's exactly the scenario, which is called, that the husband says to the wife, I'm going to place the get on the ground, and you pick it up. And Rava tells us later in the Masechta, that actually does not work. That does not work, because for the get to work, it has to be the nosan biyada. It has to be that the husband places it directly in her hand, or his shliach places it into her hand, or he places it into her shliach's hand. So in this case, if she picks it up off the ground, there's no benasa.
No.
We're talking if it lands in her arba amos in tzidir or shusar abim or in her property, that's different. That's chaser. We talked about the other day, and we're going to talk about soon that her chaser is kind of the get. We're not talking about that. He was standing in the basin. The ground doesn't belong to her. The ground belongs to the basin or belongs to the tzibur or whatever. It's the equivalent of a shusar abim for that purpose. Okay, so that idea doesn't work. Ella, let's try another possibility. The Amalah, he tells her like this: Have a shliach lahilacha ad dematisasem. You're going to be functioning as a shliach halacha, as my shliach, to carry the get from point A to point B.
The
husband says to the wife, "You're going to be my shliach to bring the get from point A to point B until you reach ad dematisasem, until you reach this particular basin. V'chi matisasem, and when you reach there, magically have a shliach kabbalah, you're going to turn into a shliach kabbalah. You're going to turn into your own shliach, the kabbalah gittich, and then you're going to receive. And then you're going to receive the get on your own behalf. Just like we've talked about before, that the woman can create a shliach kabbalah who stands in her place to receive the get. So the husband tells her, when you're going to be transitioning from, all of a sudden, when you're standing in front of that beis din, one moment you're my shliach halacha, the next moment you're turning into a shliach kabbalah, your own shliach kabbalah, and in that capacity you're going to receive the get on your own behalf, as if you were two different people. That's what the Gemara is going to ask. Because the first case was that he just said that as soon as you cut, the first scenario was we said, the first scenario that we said, Rav Huna had said, was that he says as soon as you come in front of the space din, automatically the get will take effect. The problem is, once she comes in front of that space din, she's not coming there to begin with as a shliach. She's coming there as, this is a woman with her own get, where in principle it would have taken effect as soon as her husband gave it to her, except that with a tznai, that it only takes effect later. So there's no reason to say before an echter in that case. So then we tried the possibility that you have to put it on the ground over there. But we said that doesn't work because doesn't work. So now we're saying that you yourself are going to be functioning as both kinds of shliach. First, you're going to be a shliach halacha operating on my behalf till you come there. Then you're going to be a shliach kabbalah operating on your own behalf once you come there. The problem is, okay, but you have a problem with that the shlichus is not returning to the husband. So what does that mean? It means Rashi says like this. The definition of a shliach is that after the shlichus has been fulfilled, the shliach is able to come back to the mishalayach and say, I fulfilled what you told me to do. Properly speaking, that is. There's some... No. We're not saying they have to return. Obviously, if a shliach is coming from Medina Sayyam with a get, he's not necessarily, but he has the capability of it. He has the capability of going back and saying, I did what you told me. There is actually, I can't remember now where it is, but there is some place, some place in Chumash that implies that we learn from a pasuk that actually that's the proper thing to do. That when you've sent somebody to do something, they're supposed to come back, if it's midas derecheret, to come back and report that they did it. Okay, but yeah, but at least they have to have the capability. In this case, Rashi explained, once she was sent to herself, she herself is becoming the other kind of shliach. So she now becomes the Baal HaMaaseh. So there's no more shlichus. There's no capability before her shlichus is over of returning and saying, I fulfilled the shlichus. That's how Rashi explains it. Tosfos explains it a little differently, that the vert is that before you become a shliach for somebody else, yes, you can be a shliach for two different people at the same time, but there has to be the capability that before you became the shliach for party B, that you're able to go back to party A and tell them, I fulfilled my shlichus. Meaning, in other words, that it's possible. In other words, when can you have two shlichus in, according to Tosfos, concurrently? Only if it was possible before you received the second shlichus, it was possible for you to go back to the first mishalayach and tell him, I fulfilled your shlichus. So then, even if you didn't, even if in practice you took on a second shlichus while you're still doing the first one, no big deal. But in this case, by definition, she is not able to return. Her shlichus A does not, shlichus halacha does not finish until the shlichus kabbalah starts. So therefore, there's no way of going back and saying, I fulfilled my shlichus before the second shlichus takes effect. But that's what we're saying. That's part of the definition of shlichus, is that it has to be chodra eitz labal. It has to be that there's the capability of returning to the mishalayach and saying that the shlichus has been done.
No,
she herself is the shlichus. She has to do it. No, because the point is, the definition was, we said that as soon as you have to take the get, and you yourself are going to turn from a shliach halacha into a shliach kabbalah when you're standing in front of the beis din over there. So therefore, if she leaves at that point and goes back and reports to her husband, I went there, at that point the shlichus kabbalah hasn't started yet. The whole point is, the first shlichus is still in effect until...
Before she leaves, he can appoint her shlicha.
He can't appoint her a shliach kabbalah anyway. She has to appoint herself a shliach kabbalah.
No, but to come back...
No, but the way it works over here is, again, the way it works over here is the one shlichus only ends at the moment the next shlichus begins. So there's no way to be able to come back and report that the shlichus has been done. Again, according to Rashi, before the shlichus is bottled, and according to Tosfos, before another shlichus has been taken on. What?
Even if it makes it nine.
No, it doesn't matter if it's nai or not. The definition of shlichus is that it has to be chazer eitz ha-baal. It has to be. That's what we're saying. So therefore, so that's a problem. This whole method then doesn't work according to that.
No, but if he appoints a chazer
eitz ha-baal. He did appoint her. He appointed her a shlich ha-locha.
And come back, he can't appoint her.
To be a shlich ha-baal, he can't appoint her anyway. He can only appoint her to be a shlich ha-locha. And he's saying your shlichus ha-locha is going to be in effect until you become a shlich ha-baal. But when she becomes a shlich ha-baal, at that point, she's no longer a shlich of the husband. No. Well, that's what the Gemara is trying over here. Really, a Shlech Kabbalah is supposed to be that the woman herself appoints. Fine, in this case, she's agreeing to it, so fine. But the Shlech Kabbalah is fundamentally something that the woman appoints. The Shlech Kabbalah is someone who stands in place of the woman. So that's in a similar to our scenario over here, fine, but it's not the exact scenario because the Gemara is saying over here, the scenario over here is, again, you have two shlichos in, fine. If you're going to say, if the husband is telling her at such and such a point, I want you to become your own shliach kabbalah, and she agrees, fine, but that's not what we're talking about over here. He's saying, first, the shliach halacha. So that shlichos halacha doesn't have a proper ending. Okay. So, let's try another way. I'm fine. Let's say he tells her then, you be a shliach lahilacha until you reach that place, until you reach that basin. And again, because she's a shliach lahilacha up until that point is why she has to be able to say b'fana nechta, which is the whole point we're trying to figure out over here. Once you come there, not you yourself become the shliach kabbalah, because that has the problem that we just discussed, but rather, shavi shliach kabbalah. You are to appoint somebody else as a shliach kabbalah on your own behalf. So then, in that case, fine, her shlichos is still intact, and therefore she'd theoretically be able to go back and report that, Okay. The problem with that, ha'nicha l'manda amar, that works out according to the opinion. Now later on, the Gemara is going to, later on, in the sixth parak, when we deal with all the dinim of shlichos kabbalah, we're going to have a machloikas over there. Let's put it this way. We know the husband can make a shliach halacha. We know the wife can make a shliach kabbalah. Can both of them make shluchim and one shliach gives to the other shliach? Can we have a shliach halacha giving to a shliach kabbalah?
We just said no.
On the face of it, we said yes. We said that yes. We said that she herself is a shliach halacha. She is now to appoint a shliach kabbalah when she comes in front of that beis din. So therefore, it comes out one shliach, a shliach halacha is giving to a shliach kabbalah.
So at the same time.
We said anything at the same time. A shliach halacha was appointed. He travels with the get. He or she travels with the get until they meet the shliach kabbalah, or in this case, the shliach kabbalah is being appointed right there on the spot, and the get is handed to them. So that only works according to the opinion that a shliach halacha can give to a shliach kabbalah. But that is, in fact, a machlokes. So hanicha l'manda omer isha oisa shliach l'kabbalah gitu miyam shliach baila. That works out according to the opinion that a woman is able to make a shliach kabbalah to receive the get from her husband's shliach, from the shliach halacha. In other words, you don't have to have that the giving of the get b'chlal directly involves either the husband or the wife. It can be that it's handled, that both ends of it are handled by shluchim. El mandom einu isha is a shliach l'kabbalah gitu miyam shliach baila, but according to the opinion that's not the case.
Why
the Gemara is going to talk about it in a second. But listen, the Gemara is going to give in a minute two possible reasons why not. The point is, according to that opinion, then so the husband can give the get to the wife's shliach, or the husband's shliach can give it to the wife, but the husband's shliach can't give it to the wife's shliach. So according to that opinion, how would this work over here? What's the scenario over here again, where the woman is her own shliach halacha, and there's still going to be a shliach kabbalah involved? So what would you say? How are you going to explain the scenario according to that opinion? The answer is, look, time of my, what's the reason why we're saying, according to that opinion, that a shliach can't receive the get from another shliach? Because you can argue that there's bizayin of the husband involved. Namely, the husband might take the view, you know what kind of a bizayin is it that she doesn't even want to receive the get herself, that she's appointing a shliach to receive it from my shliach? Mamela, if he himself gives it to her shliach, fine, he has the ability to do that. He's willing to give it to her shliach, no problem. Same thing, if he appoints a shliach, he has the ability to do that. But to say that he's going to appoint the shliach, and then she's going to also appoint the shliach, and like neither of them is directly involved, is a bizarre to him.
That's what
Christmas
is all about.
Fine, but up until the moment of the giving of the get, there's no Christmas. The Christmas takes effect with the giving of the get. Here, the appointment of the shliach, and it's a bizarre, yeah. So we might assume then, in other words, that the husband objects to that, which before we should discuss the question in that case, would it actually make the get possible daraisa, would it only make it possible d'rabbanan, whatever, without getting into that. So, in this case, obviously the husband doesn't mind, because he himself is instructing his wife to that I'm making you a shliach halacha, and I want you to declare a shliach kabbalah when you come in front of the beis din. So obviously there's no bizoyan involved. So even according to that opinion, it should be fine. However, within the opinion itself, within the opinion that says that you can't have one shliach give to another shliach, within that opinion itself, which is the opinion, it's Rav, by the way, it's Rav versus Rav Chanina. So according to Rav, that a shliach can't give to another shliach, within that, or shliach halacha to a shliach kabbalah, that is, within that, the Gemara discusses why. One reason that the Gemara gives over here is the reason we just said, bizoyin de baal. So in that case, the husband doesn't mind, so it's not a problem. What about, according to the other opinion, that the reason why we don't allow such a thing, a shliach halacha giving to a shliach kabbalah, because it may be confused with the case of a chaser that only becomes hers later. Namely, what does that mean? Rashi says, suppose the husband, we mentioned before that if the husband throws the get into the wife's chaser, then fine, it takes effect. So chaser is kind of on her behalf. No, because again, the husband is able to give it directly to her or to her chaser. Her chaser is able to be kind on her behalf. Maybe. But the fact of the matter the fact of the matter is, I mean, again, you know, divorce is unilateral for the husband anyhow. It doesn't really require her consent anyhow. No, but the design of the Baal. The Baal is the one who, if he considers the
only
designed the Baal. Yeah, exactly. So it doesn't, right.
That's why the
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter, right. Okay, it's not the most respectful thing to do, but the fact is, he's able to give her a get bal kocha, so therefore, this is no worse than that. Anyway, so, what's the vert? So you have, if he throws the get into her chatzor, that works. We even had the scenario the other day where gitir chatzera boin ka'achas, that the get takes effect at the same time as the handing over of the chatzor. What about, though, suppose he were to throw a get into somebody else's chatzor? Now, at that point, no good, because not in her rishus. That would be she's picking it up from ground that doesn't belong to her, which is no good. What happens if afterwards she buys that chaser? That's sort of the equivalent of declaring that chaser her shliach. That it didn't belong to her at the time, the get landed there. Now it belongs to her. That's sort of the equivalent after the fact. But that's sort of the equivalent of making the chaser into a shliach kabbalah. Now, that in that case, it doesn't work. So if you allow her to declare a shliach kabbalah to receive the get from her husband's shliach halacha, people are going to make the mistake of thinking that you can do the same kind of thing with a chaser, that after the get landed there, you're able to buy that chaser and the get would work. Tosfos disagrees with that. I mean, Tosfos says it's a little far-fetched. Tosfos instead says you could have a different scenario. Suppose the husband puts it in his own chaser, then he sells that chaser to somebody else, and then the woman buys that chaser from that other person.
Let's see.
Again, the comparison is that if it landed to begin with in chaser chaveira, that's not really like a shliach halacha. But if it was in the husband's chaser, that's sort of the equivalent. His chaser is his own shliach halacha, and now she winds up buying that chaser, where it was sold to another party, and then it was sold to her. So that's sort of the equivalent of a shliach kabbalah, and that's no good. So therefore, we don't want to, according to that opinion, according to that understanding, within what Rav is saying, we don't want the shliach kabbalah to be receiving from the shliach halacha.
You should buy the chaser from the
husband. You give a chaser to Bon Kachon. That's the scenario we said the other day. Yeah.
Not that she should buy it.
Same difference. As soon as she buys, the horror would be the same thing. That's what the Gemara is going to end up answering. Wait a line. So, according to that understanding within Rav, still the scenario where the woman herself is the shliach halacha and having to say b'fanin echtem, b'fanin echtem. Case is as follows. You be the shliach halacha until you get there. At that point, you're going to say b'fanin echtem, b'fanin echtem. When you come over there, shavit shliach lahilacha, you appoint another shliach halacha, which one shliach halacha is able to appoint another shliach halacha. There's no issue in that. Always, yeah. Again, before we were talking about two different kinds of shluchim. According to Rav's opinion, one kind of shliach can't give to the other kind of shliach. But one kind of shliach can give to another one of the same kind of shliach, and so forth. When they send gittin nowadays, one of the standard things you can find in Kavnaki and other compendia of the exact details of how a get is given is they say over there that the husband, for example, is authorizing the sofer to write the get, and the sofer can appoint another sofer and so forth, and also when it comes to shluchim, etc., that in the shliach can appoint the shliach, even if it's 100, yeah. So you become the shliach halacha until you come there. Then you declare another shliach halacha. And then you, as yourself, you don't need a shliach kabbalah at that point. You yourself, as the wife, will receive the get from that second shliach halacha. But therefore, you were the first shliach halacha. Therefore, you're the one who's going to be saying b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem. Or another possibility, the amal ha'av shliach halacha ad matis hasam. You be the shliach halacha until you get to the beis din. Then you declare b'fanenachtem. This is your scenario, Eli. Then at that point, the beis din can appoint a shliach halacha, a second shliach halacha. Again, that takes care of the shlichus chozeres etzal abal, that she, in principle, at any time now can return to her shlichus is not over, and she's able to return to the husband and say, I fulfilled your shlichus. And that second shliach will give you the get. So Tosfos and other Mephoshim discuss what exactly is the difference between these last two scenarios. Tosfos discusses the question that maybe the difference is when is she saying b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem? According to the first way of looking at it, she wouldn't say at the time when her shlichus halacha is finished, when she comes in front of the beis din. Rather, she would say it at the time when she receives the get as the wife. Once she receives it, at that point she'll say b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem. Because usually the idea is it's said during the time of the shlichus, but Tosfos says that actually over here, where you're able to say it at the time of gerushin, is even better than saying it at the time of the shlichus. So therefore, so that would be the difference. According to the first lashon, she'd be saying it at the time of the gerushin. According to the second lashon, she'd be saying it at the time when her shlichus is over, as a usual shliach halacha does. So there are other Rishonim, I think, that Ramban talks about. Another difference between these two is it okay for her herself to appoint the second Shliach HaLacha, or according to the second Lashon, we need Beis Din to be appointing that second Shliach HaLacha. And we're actually going to talk about in the next Perek the scenario when you have a Shliach Beis Din, when you have a Shliach Beis Din coming with a get, where instead of declaring b'fanei nechtem, they're supposed to declare Shliach Beis Din on me. I'm being sent by the Beis Din of such and such a place. So that comes into this also. Is she saying b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem, and then her second shliach is just saying shliach based in any, or is she saying b'fanei nechtem, b'fanei nechtem at the end, and the second shliach isn't saying anything? Yeah.
She's the one who actually traveled.
Yeah. Hadron alacham evigin. Mishnah says, Kol get shenichtav shlomishom isha, any get that was not written for the sake of a particular woman, puzzle. So we learned in the previous parak two different ways of understanding our Mishnah. Is it according to Rabbi Lazar, the Eidim Mesira Kauti, and therefore that it's the Eidim Mesira that are the essential thing, and therefore the writing of the get, at least the writing of the Torah, has to be done in the Shema? Or is it a coin of mayor that Edi Chasina Kauchi, that it's the Edi Chasina that are the essential thing, and therefore the whole get itself does not have to be written Lashma? Like Rav Nachman said, you could even find a get with the proper name in the garbage and use it, but the Chasina. So when we say Kol Get Shenichtev, it would mean that it was signed Lashma. Lashum is Lashon Chachamim. Yeah. Okay, you also find Lashum a lot of times in chat. Okay, Kate said, how you over the shuk? Suppose you have...
What?
Shalom Lashum Isha can mean in general not for a woman, but we're going to see. Yeah, but we're going to see as we go through the Mishnah that it actually means Lashem for herself. Yeah. Okay. Oh, so you're saying Lashum Isha for any woman? Maybe. Okay. Kesa.
Any woman.
Yeah. But we're going to say later in the Mishnah that it's not just if it's not for any woman. It's even if it's for a specific woman, but not the right one.
No, this is for
Israel. Okay, could be. Kesa. How you over the shuk? Suppose somebody is walking through the marketplace, the Shomer Kol Sofrin Makrin, and he overhears Sofrim who are writing Gittin, reading off. Ish Pliny the Garish is Pliny from Rockham Pliny. Pliny is divorcing Plinus from such and such a place. But Omar, and he says, Zeshmi the Zeshem Ishti. Hey, that's my name and that's my wife's name. Let me use that get. No, possible the Garish, but it's possible to use. So the Gemara is going to discuss what the exact scenario is. But Yes, and we can. Even more than that, we have a case. Possible the Garish is Ishti. Suppose you have a guy write a get or has a get written to divorce his wife. The Nimlach, and then he changes his mind. He decides, you know what, I don't want to divorce her after all. Motze ben Iroi, then somebody from the same city finds him, and he says, Shmi kashimcha b'shem ishti kashem ishticha. I have the same name as you. My wife has the same name as you. Let me take that get from you and use it for my wife. Possible garish, but it's possible for him to use it to do a garish with. The difference, so the Gemara is going to explain that the first case was that the Sofrim were just writing a get for practice. The second case is it was actually written l'shem again, but not for the same husband and wife. Yes, I mean, that's the difference. One is it wasn't written for any husband and wife; it was just written for practice. And the second one is written for a husband and wife, but a different one. That's it. Yeah. Yes, and we can, even more than that. Hoy l'shtei nashim u'shmesei en shabbos. If somebody is married to two women who have the same name, kosov l'garish l'gdola l'garish b'atakana. So if you write a get planning to use it to divorce the older one, you're not allowed to use it to divorce the younger one, because even though the husband it was written for the proper husband, it wasn't written for the proper wife.
Why do we obvious?
It's not so obvious. The first case was it wasn't written for anybody. It was just written for practice. The second one was actually written for a particular couple, just not the same one. Here it was written for the proper husband, just not the proper wife. But each one is a chiddush over the previous one. Yes, and we can, and even more than that. Suppose the husband says to the sofer, you write the get with the name, and I will afterwards use it to divorce whichever of my two wives I feel like. Also possible, garish, but it's also possible because, again, there wasn't a specific one in mind at the time. And so we're going to get into a little today and much more tomorrow about the whole concept of Breira, which we've had many times before, the concept that when you have something where it was uncertain to begin with which one it's going to end up being, and later on it ends up being one of them, can we say it was retroactive to when the original division happened? That's Breira. That's what the Gemara is going to get into a little bit today, and then more tomorrow about how this last case of the Mishnah relates to the whole concept of Breira. Because that's according to Rav Nachman, would have to understand if we say that our Mishnah goes according to the mayor, then we would have to say that in all the scenarios of our Mishnah, we're talking about that actually it depends what the Edim did when they were signing. Even the first case of the Mishnah, there was a Tosfos the other day pointed out that Edim, that Sofrim, when they practice writing Gittin, and they also practice the signatures of the Edim, so therefore, according to the mayor, that would be possible. And all the other scenarios also. The second scenario, for example, would be that Yosef wrote a get to divorce Rachel, and he had Edim sign it. He just hasn't delivered it yet. And then another Yosef tells him, you know what, I have the same name as you, my wife has the same name as your wife, let me use it. So again, it was signed for the sake of one Yosef and Rachel. It can't be used for a different Yosef and Rachel, and similar to the other scenarios. Yeah. So according to the mayor, we'll also be talking about what the Edom had in mind when they signed. Yeah. Okay. So Gemara says, The Mishnah said, Kotzim Lagarish Atishav Nimlach Kola, that the second case of the Mishnah was that someone wrote a get to divorce his wife, then he changed his mind. So then, the elevation of my. So then, when the first case in the Mishnah, when the first case starts out saying that the sofrim, that a person is walking in the street and hears the sofrim reading from a get that says Pliny divorced Plinus, what's that case then? I'm going to pop up the sofrim has certainly Islam in a skin. That first case of the Mishnah is talking about they weren't writing it the chlal as a kosher get, they were writing it for practice. And the second case is talking about it was written as an actual get, but for the wrong party. I'm going to bash a dekanami. In fact, you can see that from the wording of the Mishnah. The Katani Sofrim Makrin, the like Katani Sofrim Kodin. It says the Sofrim are dictating. It doesn't say the Sofrim are reading. Makrin dictating implies that you have a teacher who's dictating to the students, practice writing this get, Yosef to divorce Rachel. And therefore, so it was written for practice. It wasn't written as a kosher get at all, unlike if it said Sofrim Kodim would mean, because after the Sofer writes the get, he reads it over. To make sure that it's all.
How do you recognize?
He hears. Well, he was asking, how does he recognize when he's walking down the street?
So
he hears, for example, he hears the teacher telling the students write the get according to this, as opposed to Kurdin would be that the sofer himself is reading. Okay, I finished writing this get. Let me read it to you. Charming enough for that proof then.
Where would it be sofer and Kurdin? How would the sofer have to read? After
he writes it. I don't know that he's required to, Lalach, or the Edim are required to read it before they sign, and as we had the other day, I don't know that the sofer is necessarily, unless he's one of the signers himself. Practically speaking, he'd probably want to read it over and make sure there's no mistake. Okay, my yes and me can. So what's the order in the Mishnah that each one is yes and me can is even more than the previous one? What's the chiddush in each case of the Mishnah over the previous one? It's like this. Not only the first case in the Mishnah where it wasn't written for the sake of Gerushin at all, because it was only written for practice. El af zeshin nifta v'shem Gerushin also. Even the second case where someone wrote a get intending to use it to divorce and then change his mind, etc., where it was written l'shem Gerushin, it's still possible because it was for the wrong party. Because it was for the wrong party. Not only that case where it wasn't written having the husband in mind, possible. The third case, we had two wives with the same name, and he writes a get to divorce the elder one, and they were saying he can't use it for the younger one. So even though it was written for the sake of his gerushin, it's possible because it wasn't written for her gerushin. And not only the third case where it was not written for the sake of the gerushin of this one, but even in the fourth case of the Mishnah where it may have been written for the sake of this particular one, because in the end he chooses which one he's going to use it for, even then possible. That's the point, yeah. Well, the third case already is written for one of his wives. The fourth case is even more than that. He didn't even specify at the time which one. The third case was he specified, I'm using it for the elder Rachel, and now he wants to use it for the younger Rachel. The fourth scenario was there wasn't even a changing in the mind. When he wrote it, Lachatchila, he wasn't sure which one he wants to divorce, and now he wants to choose. We're saying even that is possible. Tosfos, by the way, points out that not necessarily, even though the Gemara is going to now get into the whole matter of Breira, as it relates to this last case, Tosfos points out that actually, even according to the opinion, which we have in many places in Shas, and we're going to deal with tomorrow, that there is that Breira is valid, that we do say that whatever was chosen in the end is retroactively what it was all along. So in the Gemara ends up, no, the Machlokes Tanoim, whether there's Breira or not, is in both Daraisa and Darabanan. The Halacha, the compromise, is that we say there's Breira in Daraisa but not Darabanan. But the Tanoim will hold that Yesh Breira hold even in Daraisa. But Tosfos says that actually even according to that opinion, here it would still be a problem. Still, yes, Yesh Breira, but it has to be the cost of law. It has to be at the time of the Ksiva that there was that it was known which one is being written for.
What?
So you can't have both in mind then. In other words,
as in mind.
That's the point. In other words, even if we say everywhere else in the Torah that yesh brera, here we would say because the pasuk specifically says the kasam law means ain brera in this particular case. My time. So now, what's the reason behind all this? Because of the nosan sefer krisus biyada. If the Torah had just said that the husband places a sefer krisus, a document of divorce, in her hand, have amin olamote heyachkam and b'leiav b'shem krisus, then we'd think, fine. That means the first scenario of the Mishnah doesn't work because it was not written b'chlal for the sake of gerushin. Avo kosov v'garish asish of a nimloch. But the case where one person wrote the get and then changed his mind and now wants to give it to somebody else. The Ovid Lashum Krisis, where after all that get was written for the sake of divorce, just not of the same husband and wife, Ema Kosher, you would think that it was Kosher, therefore Kosher Rachman of the Chosav, therefore the Torah actually specifies that he writes, which implies at the time of the writing, which implies, not at the time of the writing, it implies that he, the husband himself, who's going to be the divorcing, has to be the one who's writing or having a shliach to write the get. Not that somebody else wrote it and now he's going to take it over. And if he wrote it on the husband's demand for his own wife, that's different. But we're saying that it has to be that it was written either by the husband himself or by somebody who he deputized, appointed for that purpose. Yeah. Not like the second scenario of the Mishnah, where he meets somebody and says, hey, you know, we happen to have the same name, sell me that game.
That would work for the guy who has wives with the same name.
That's where we're up to. So if we only had so far that the Torah said v'kosav sefer krisos v'nosan biyada havam in l'mot ha'ay, so you would say, okay, it excludes the second scenario. Deloy ihu kosav law, because after all, he didn't write the get, somebody else wrote it. Avo yesh l'shtei nashim, but like you were saying, in the case where the husband has two wives, de ihu kosav law, where after all, he wrote the get, he just wrote it for the wrong one. Eim kosher, you think it's kosher? No, kosher rachman Allah. Therefore, the Torah adds v'kosav law. Sefer Krisus, meaning specifically Lashma, for her sake. But therefore, so that explains the first three cases of the Mishnah. But Sefer Lomeli, and then in that case, what are we adding with the fourth case in the Mishnah? What's the Chiddush over the fourth case, over the previous three? The answer is Hakamashkul under Ein Breira. That's exactly what the Mishnah is telling us, that Ein Breira, that you should know that in this case, we can't say, either according to the opinion that generally Ein Breira, or like Tosfos says, even according to the opinion Yesh Breira, but not over here. You can't say that there should be Breira. You can't say that the cost of law would include that you can't say that will allow Breira, and therefore, since now he decided to use it for the younger Rachel, then retroactively that's what it was all along. No, the cost of law implies that at the time of the writing, it has to be that it was already lost, that it was for her sake.
Can have Breira before the writing?
Before the writing, of course. That's the whole point, yeah. Breira, you can't change it after it's written.
No.
Yeah. Not only you can't change it, no. Not just you can't change it, that's the third scenario. The fourth scenario is you can't say, I'm leaving it up in the air, and after I write it, I'll be fine.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I mean, again, you know, depending whether we're talking according to Rabbi Lazar about writing the Torah, or whether we're talking about according to Rabbi Meir about the signatures, yeah, either way, we'd have to find out where you'd have to... There is actually the Gemara in Zvachim. The Gemara in Zvachim talks about the question. Talks about over there that when it comes to writing a get, it's not just enough to have it in mind. You actually need to verbally say that I'm writing it l'shem this husband and this wife.
Right. Mind.
No, it's not so much because nobody can read someone's mind. The reason the Gemara says over there is, as opposed to, for example, with Kodshim, where you don't have to verbally say, I'm shechting this for the sake of an Oyla or Shlomim or what have you, the difference is a Korban is being brought. The Korban is being brought for the Bais Mikdash. Of necessity, it's going to be shechted as a Korban. A woman is not ordinarily going to be divorced. Therefore, if you're going to be divorcing her, you have to specify, you have to verbally specify before you sit down to write the get, or at least to write the Tertif, for whose sake you're writing it, which husband and which wife. Yeah, okay.
Now,
is it
obvious?
No, it wouldn't have been so obvious.
Okay, no, you have to write it to a source.
You could think, you could maybe thinking it would be enough. We'll talk about that tomorrow. Hold on, we'll talk about that tomorrow, and we actually, that's where the Machlokes Tanayim is about that. We're going to learn about it tomorrow. That famous Mishnah, Alekeach Yain Mibena Kosim, we're going to talk about it tomorrow, Bez Hashem. That Mishnah is quoted in like 8 or 10 places in Shas. This is one of them, yeah. Okay.
Well, basically over here when you go to get the written. Is there a list there prepared beforehand on getting and just show names, or do you have to essentially write the whole thing from beginning to end?
Usually nowadays the essentially writes the whole thing from beginning to end. We are going to learn later on Chavav, Chav Zayin, or thereabouts, that the sofer, that technically the sofer can write tofes for Gittin, can write blanks for Gittin ahead of time, and just fill in the totif as it comes along. But in practice, I don't think they do that nowadays.
Can they expressly on
the I guess in principle, yes. Since the totif doesn't have to be written l'shma, then yeah, I guess in principle they could do that. Again, I've never seen that done.
They like Ksuba, why not?
Ksuba is different. There's not such a Ksuba, it's just a regular shah.
No,
okay. Yeah. Okay, let's continue. The Mishnah said, "Kosev legarish legolu legarish basakana." That if you write a get to in the third case in the Mishnah, where you wrote a get intending to divorce the elder wife, and now you're going to use it to divorce the younger wife, doesn't work. Which implies, the Gemara says, "Kana urdele matzim legarish bay, hugdele matzim legarish bay." So what is the Mishnah saying? You can't use it for the younger one, but you would be able to use it for the older one who you originally had in mind. What do we see from that? Omar Rabba Zosef Meres. In that case, we can prove from this Mishnah that Shnei Yosef and Shimon Adonin Be'iracha. Suppose you have two people with the same name, such as Yosef and Shimon, living in the same city. They have the ability, each one of them has the ability, to take out a Shtar Choyv and use it to collect from somebody else in town. Meaning, now the Gemara discusses in Bava Basra that you have a few different possible scenarios. First of all, you can have, if somebody else has a shtar chayv, says Yosef ben Shimon owes me money, can he go to either of them and collect? No, because each one of them can say, who says I'm the one who owes it to you? Maybe it's the other one. Second of all, can one of them collect from the other? Also not, same problem. What do you mean? Who says I owe you? Maybe you owe me. But then you have the third scenario, where one of them is holding a shtar chayv that says that so-and-so owes money to me, Yosef ben Shimon. Whether you're able to collect on that is a machlokes over there in Bava Basra. So Rava is saying, based on our Mishnah, it sounds like yes. The same way as over there you would say the person who's holding the Shtar Chayv is able to collect on it. We're not concerned, let's say, that for example he dropped it and the other Yosef and Shimon found it. Same thing over here. We're saying that he wrote the get intending to divorce the older Rachel. He's able to use it to divorce the older Rachel, and we don't have to be concerned about the confusion that you have to specify, you have to make it clear which Rachel it is in the shtar.
But that's
not Lishma. No, it is Lishma. It was written for the older Rachel, and it's being given to the older Rachel. But the problem is, if we say that Yosef ben Shimon is not able to be mosi a shtar chayv al acherim, then by the same logic, we would have to say that over here, you can't use the get for the elder Rachel either. You would have to specify. Rachel, the one who's 45 years old and has red hair, or whatever, however you would specify it exactly. Interesting thing, by the way, I don't want to take too much time on it, but your Tzadik HaKoyen has an interesting explanation. Why is the Gemara's go-to name throughout Shas? Whenever you want an example of two people with the same name, it always uses this example, Yosef and Shimon. Why is that? He says, because Yosef, among all the Shvatim, was special for Shmira Sabrit, for the fact that when the whole thing with Potiphar's wife, that he was careful to avoid any Aveda with her. Whereas Shimon was the opposite. Shevet Shimon, we know, not Shimon himself, but Shevet Shimon later on were the ones who ended up getting involved with Baal Peor and Zimri and Cosby and 24,000 of them being killed. So you would say, the whole Jewish people collectively are called Yosef, Noyeg Katzon Yosef. So you would think that maybe Shimon doesn't belong in that category. Maybe Shimon is too far away from Yosef. Shimon, who stumbled in Gilead Arias, is too far away from Yosef. Yosef is Ben Shimon. Yosef himself is the son who improved Brachah Davua, who is able to have a connection with and be able to work on behalf of a refining Shimon. Anyway, Reb Tzadik HaKoyen says this. Finish of our day. Well, then, by that logic, Reisha, what about the previous case of the Mishnah, the Katani Shmika Shimcha, where we said that you had one person who wrote the get for his wife, and the other one says, you know what, my name and my wife's name are the same as yours and your wife. And we said, possible Garish Boy. We said it's possible for the second one to use for Gerishin. What does that imply? Shena who delay Matsim Garish Boy, Harishin Matsim Garish Boy. So what would that imply? The first person would be able to use that get? But we say everybody agrees that if you have two Yosef ben Shimons in town, nobody else is able to collect on a shtar chayv from them. wouldn't that be the equivalent of a here then that you have two Yosef and Shimon's and two Rachel's in the same town, where the first one is not going to be able to divorce his wife unless unless the second one is actually present, for the same reason, because later on, what do you mean? Who says it was Yosef and Shimon A who divorced his wife? Maybe it was Yosef and Shimon B. Yeah, come on. So then the Mishnah, the Gemara talk about it, the possibilities. Either you have to write the third generation back, or you have to write one's Hakoyan and the other one's Halevi, let's say, if that's the case, or if need be, use physical characteristics, the tall versus the short, or whatever.
You'd have to do that,
yeah. And over here, the Mishnah seems to be implying that you don't need to. So how does that work? So in other words, obviously, Abaya's point is you can't compare the two cases. So what would you have to say? How would it work in the case when you have two people, two couples with the same name, and the Mishnah seems to be implying the first one is able to use this get, no problem, but the second one who can't because not the Shema, must be the Eid in the Sira of Elovi. You must say that the Mishnah is talking about where the get was given with Eid in the Sira, was given in the presence of Eidim Asira, and that would be according to the Balazza, the Eidim Asira Karti, Hachanami. So the same thing you could say in the other scenario, in the third case of the Mishnah, the Eidim Asira Verbalazzi. You could say that it doesn't matter whether the guess itself clearly indicates which Yosef and which Rachel it was, or in the third case of the Mishnah, we know which husband it is, which of the two Rachels, which of the two wives it was. It doesn't matter. The Eidim Asira will clarify it.
So it has to be written.
But that's the thing. So we have to know. So the Eidim Asira will see at the time. They know. They recognize everybody, and they'll give Eidus that it was this Yosef who gave it to this Rachel, or that it was Yosef who gave it to this Rachel and not to that Rachel. With Eidich Simmer, the problem is more Hashin and Lenefila, that we're afraid that that one of them may have dropped it, and then the other one picks it up and uses it. Or gave it to his friend, or whatever. Okay. Omer Rav, so now we had four cases in the Mishnah of Pasul Gittin. Omer Rav, Kulam Posen, the Kohona Chutz Min Arishin. All four of these Gittin, even though we're saying they're Pasul Gittin, and the woman is not divorced, she's still an Eishes Ish, they do Pasul her from marrying a Kohen. At that point, her husband dies before he has a chance to give her a proper get. Then she's still Pasul to marry a Kohen.
Basically from
a suffer. Well, chutz min arishin, except for the first one, because the first one wasn't written l'shem gerushin at all. The last three, it's not a suffix. Rashi says it's called something called reyach haget, which means like the smell of a get. We're going to learn a scenario about it towards the end of the Masechta, of a case of a get, which is possible, but there's the reyach haget, there's like the aroma of a get over here, and that's enough to passel her to a kohen. We're going to actually learn it from a pasuk over there. Chutz min arishin, except for the first one, because that one wasn't written l'shem gerushin at all. Shmuel says, no, even the first one is considered Reach again. But as the Shmuel attack, so Shmuel goes according to his own. What? Hostess for Kona means that if her husband dies before he has a chance afterwards to give her a proper get. Because if the husband is a Kohen, that's true also, actually. If the husband himself, she wouldn't be able to, he wouldn't be able to remarry her. Yeah, that's a good point, yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's the thing. So you have two scenarios. One is where her husband dies before he has a chance to give her a proper get. She can't marry a different Kohen. The other case is, yeah, if her husband himself is a Kohen, then yeah, he's not going to be able to remarry her after one of these one of these four gets in. Yeah.
If he dies?
Then a Kohen can't marry her, yeah. But as the Shmuel time, and so Shmuel goes according to his own svara, the Amar Shmuel, kol makam sheshana chachamim get posel, any place where the chachamim say that a certain get is posel, which all four of the cases in our Mishnah said that's posel, as opposed to saying any get, for example, it means posel or posel. It means it's a get posel, but it posels her from kohona. Similarly, chalitza psula, similarly in every case where we say that a chalitza is posel, as opposed to, again, saying that's not chalitza, also implies psula, it's a posel chalitza, she'll need chalitza again, or posalta mina achim, but it also has an effect to the extent that it passels her from doing yibum with any of the other brothers. But my Rabbi Amri Mishmei the Rabbi Lazar, in the West, meaning in Eretz Yisrael, they said in the name of Rabbi Lazar, they said no. When it comes to chalitza, it's as follows. Smoil v'layla, if it was done with the left hand, or it was done at night, psula to posulus. Those kind are considered posel chalitza, but they do passel her from the other brothers. Katan, but if it was a chalitza that was done by a katan, or that was done with a sock, with a fabric thing rather than a shoe made out of leather, Those are not even considered chalitza at all. Yeah, chalitza. Those are not considered chalitza at all. Psulus v'ein poslus. Those are considered a posel chalitza, but they do not posel the wife, the mama, from marrying any of the other brothers. So it's not just, they're saying, it's not a blanket statement that anything that's called chalitza psula, it depends what kind of psula it is. There's a Nirumas, yes. The Tosfos points out that it's not, you have actually this machlokas between the mayor and the chachamim over there. Basically, what Tosfos says is that Shmuel and the Ma'arava are arguing the various Mishnayos in Nirumas over there. Who are they going according to? Are they going according to the mayor, or are they going according to the chachamim? The Mishnayos that say over there, for example, that a cotton's chalitza is possible. Is that according to the mayor that it's not chalitza at all? Or is it like the Rabbanon, who say that it's considered a chalitza psula and apostles are from marrying any of the other brothers? We'll continue tomorrow with more possibilities about the various gifts in our Mishnah, which ones are possible, which ones possible from Kohanim, which ones don't.